How does it work?
Hello.
Okay. One of those things.
I just fart in it.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys have already answered these questions the whole day 80 times, but thank you for having us.
We're going to give, if that's the case, then we're going to give you the really unimpressed answers.
All right.
Gonna,
hey.
Even better.
Oh, you're asking that question? Why don't you just go read the other
whatever
answer?
Works for you guys.
No.
We generally don't even really answer questions. We just kind of we hang out,
silence.
Talk about coffee, talk about, yeah. I was even wondering, I'm like, going back to the coffee, sorry,
right
if, this is if this is derailing the questions, but I'd heard that the darker the coffee, it actually is less caffeine, potentially, right?
Oh, really?
Is it? Do you know about
I
that?
I do know that.
I do know. I'm a coffee expert, by the way. Here, I'll hold. Are you going to be my mic tech?
I'll just keep moving it.
I'm just going to hold your hand. You hold the microphone. So, okay, yeah. So, light roasts, which a lot of people think, oh, it's lighter. It's not so dark. It has sometimes upwards of three times the amount of caffeine as a dark roast. So, and a lot of people are like, oh, the caffeine like messes with my stomach. The dark roast actually, what messes with the stomach is the level of acidity. And so the darker the roast, kind of the more intense the acid is. So they go for lighter roasts thinking that it's kind of like, obviously, like you think lighter just in general, it kind of, you think it's better for you. But it's got zero antioxidants in it, and it's like three times the caffeine. So you freak out on it. And yeah, so if you drink like darker roast espresso or dark roast coffee, you get a ton of antioxidants, and you can just add a little cream to make it not so acidic, and then you're fine. And you get like a third of the caffeine. It will have less caffeine. Yeah.
All right. Well,
what else do you do besides being a coffee expert?
Sometimes, besides drinking coffee, when I'm not drinking coffee, I sing in a band.
By the way, which we've heard, and we've loved it. We think we're talking about this morning, that it really captures the essence of what you guys are as a band. I feel like you have never rested your creativity, and you're always looking ways to recreate, rebuild, kind of like adapt your thinking to the ever-evolving music scene. At the same time, you guys keep those elements that made you brilliant 16 years ago. But so now you're back with like a new album, you know, and I'd like to know what kind of like sparked that creativity for this new album. What made you guys get together and say, hey, let's do this again. Let's put out a new record.
Well, I think for us, like, when we go into any period of time where we're going to go create music for a new record, it's kind of like this build up to something that you know needs to happen. And because like when we made Hybrid Theory, we just knew we wanted to be in a band, and we wanted to make music, and we wanted to do it good enough at that time to like be able to become professionals.
Get a second chance.
Yeah, to at least get one more chance at doing it. And I think that feeling has always been with us. Like, we've never felt like, I'm not going to say never, but we've tried to always look at every album that we do as like our only album. Because it keeps things fresh. Like, we at this point in time, like, we could easily just like not make any new music. We could just go out and tour. We have a bunch of songs people like. They want to hear them. We could just kind of go out and just like ride off into the sunset. That's it. Like, we don't want to do that. We want to keep making music because we love making music. And for us, like, that's only half of the experience. Like, we want to make the music and then go play it and like challenge ourselves, you know. So that's one part of the inspiration. The other part of it is we always want to try to challenge ourselves as professionals to like learn as much as we can so that we can make the best thing that we can. We would not have been capable to make this kind of record or the last record, anything after Hybrid Theory. We weren't ready to make that the record until that time, you know? So, what's right for us now, what feels good for us now, what we're capable of doing now, I don't think we would have been capable of doing it any other time than now. And so, this time around, we really wanted to try some new things. One of those being working with outside writers. We've always just kind of kept everything very closed in like our own little bubble. And a lot of our favorite artists and a lot of our favorite singer-songwriters, whoever they may be, we know that they've written, including the Beatles, like everybody. They've all, at least at one point or in some part of their journey, written with outside writers. So we decided, like, you know what? We know we're really good at what we do. We know that we're capable of writing whatever kind of song we want to write. But why would we want to not experience this and see what we can learn from it? And so we opened that door, and that was really great. Another thing that we incorporated was the idea, like, we've always built tracks first and then been like, ooh, I like that track, or ooh, I like that track, for whatever reason, mostly because of a vibe. And then the music dictates the emotional outcome of the song. So for me, and I'm like I'm kind of ignorant when it comes to things that I like without substance. I like shiny shit. Like if it's shiny, I go, oh, what is that? You know, I'm just like, dude, yeah, like, oh, shiny shoes. I want those. You know, like it doesn't mean anything. It's just shiny, like, and I like it. Much like when a dog sees a squirrel move in the tree, it's just like, ugh! You know, like, that's me. When I see something pretty, I'm like, I like it. It's pretty. So when I hear a track that's got huge guitars and like tons of energy, and like it doesn't need words to express that, to get a feeling, like, I'm drawn to that like a fucking moth to flame. It's just like, ooh, I don't have to think about it too much. It's just like, I'm already there. So this, I always gravitated towards the songs that made me kind of like want to jump up and like hit something. And then we'd always end up with the songs that made people want to jump up and punch things. Right. So, the songs that became more challenging were tracks that sounded really great, but you kind of had to work at like, well, where emotionally can I go in this space? And man, those were like songs that were really hard, because we would have a ton of these great sounding tracks that Mike and I would both be like, I don't know. What am I talking about? Where do I go with this? You know what I mean? And so, as we were going through that process, Rick Rubin was like, you guys kind of throw like lyrics on at the end of the process. Like, that's so weird. Like, nobody I've ever worked with does it that way. Like, most people do it. Most of the artists I do work with, like, they write lyrics and melodies, and then they come in and build a track. And we're just like, well, that's fine. You know, like, it's like, cool. That's great that it works for them. And he encouraged us to do that through some various suggestions and like, I guess, kind of like scenarios that we could work through. So this time around, we had the perfect little soup of opportunity. We had outside writer mixed with, let's make sure that we actually write songs. Like, we want lyrics and melodies first. So, and what's going to, how are we going to decide which of those songs are worth working on? Well, if we can sing it by itself and you've got the song, then we're working on it. We can build a track around that, because now you have a song that's being conveyed in its most vulnerable and most exposed way. And if it comes across, then you've got a great song. Now you can build a track around it however you want. So we did that, and we started off all of the song, each song with a conversation, you know, about what's going on in our lives and what we're experiencing in our relationships within ourselves.
Everyone in the studio together?
Whoever was in the studio. Okay. So you know, if it was me and Mike and, you know, a songwriter, then that's who was in the room and that's who would be working on the stuff. If it was me, Mike, Brad, Dave, and two other songwriters, like that's who was participating that day, right? So, and everyone would contribute to that conversation. And by the end of the day, we would have all the melodies, all the lyrics written, and we'd, in some cases, start cutting vocals, like just with no track. Like literally like, okay, hold on, let me just like loop the piano parts here and like, or the guitar and like, just kind of loosely throw something together and like you sing it. And what ended up happening was we ended up writing all these really melodic and lyrically charged songs. And there was never a moment where we were like, you know what we need? We need to like throw a really heavy guitar in here so that the people who like heavy guitars from Linkin Park are happy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or, you know, I haven't screamed yet. Like, maybe I should scream sometime soon. You know what I mean? It was just like, it wasn't even a thought process until after we got like so many songs. We're like, wow, like this is what it's looking like the record's going to be. It's kind of ballsy to put this record out. But it's kind of awesome because the songs are so, we felt like we're so stoked on all these songs. Like we have so many songs to choose from. Let's just put all of them out there, you know?
How many songs did you guys record for this album?
We wrote over 150 demos. And we, I'd say got about 70% or better through it into a track recording wise on about, maybe even like 50% or more on about probably like 70 to 80 of those tracks. And about 50 of them got 80% done or better. And then we chose, and this is like a first because we had so many, we had like so many songs that we loved that had melodies and lyrics that people were attaching to like right away that we had finished songs that just required a little change here maybe or some work or needed a new part or something. But they were pretty much cooked. And so we're like, let's just pick the best out of those, out of all of these that we feel are the best, the furthest along that are the best, and just put those out. And this is what ended up happening. We ended up with this group of songs. And we have a lot of music that was also created out of this, you know, so.
Do you guys feel comfortable in this new, I guess, way of working, this new role?
Hi, I'm Dave.
You know, what's interesting is, like, I don't really feel like we're doing anything new. I mean, I know that there's like sonically things, like there are expectations that people have. I think that there's a difference between, I'm going to give like a really weird analogy, but if you go to the Transformers movie and expect to see like Gone with the Wind, like you're setting yourself up for like an experience that isn't real. Like, if you listen to a Linkin Park record or a song by Linkin Park and then go, oh, they're going to do that every single time, like 99 out of 100 songs are going to sound different. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the thing where it's like, I think a lot of our fans have really gone into, come along with us on this like journey, and they understand that like we're always trying new and different things. So I don't feel like we're doing anything different or new necessarily. Like it's not like we went, oh, we're going to really go this route and throw people off. It's really more of like, this is who we are now, you know, this is the best representation of where we're at and what we want to make. And as long as we're doing that, we're happy. And like, we didn't start out making music going, we're going to go to Metal Island and we're going to live there. Like, we want to travel the whole realm of music. and we've always put ourselves out as a band that's kind of beyond genre to a certain degree. And so I think that's one of the things that really, for me early on, like didn't sit well with me being called a nu metal band, because it wasn't that I didn't understand what that was or I didn't like it. It was that for someone to say that's what you are and you can't be anything else inside me makes me want to punch you in the face. Like, it makes me angry right away. And the first thing I want to do is go show you that you're wrong or that I can do something different. And everyone in the band has like a varying, like on the scale of like what that reaction is probably lies, but the reactions that, but the behind that reaction is the same. Like, no, like we can do a lot of other things and we're capable of doing a lot of things. And that's like not who we are. That might be a part of what we do, but it's not who we are. So yeah.
And I think we can see this. Here, David, in the record, I mean, the people that you guys collaborated with or you featured in your songs, like, I mean, they're very different. You know, you have Kiara, and then I am a big fan of Stormzy and Shetty feature. How did those collaborations came along?
Well, the different collaborations on this record, the few that you mentioned, Kiara came from Zane Lowe. We've known him for forever. And Mike had been talking to him, you know, we have this song that we'd love to feature a female vocalist, you know, in the writing process, that had worked really well. Do you have any ideas? Blah, blah, blah. I guess he had either known or had heard Kiara saying that she was a fan of Linkin Park. And obviously we thought she had a ridiculously great vibe and voice. So that added a ton of the song to the song, and the other spots as well. I think like even with the way those came together and the way the album came together in general, and even to go back to your last question about like, does it make you uncomfortable with this album? I think for me personally, there's so much of me invested in the album, and there's so much of the album itself that I feel like is an honest representation of where we're at right now. That the notion to me of doing something differently than this actually feels way more uncomfortable. You know, like people will say, or you'll read it as a criticism, like, oh, you've changed. Yeah. And I would almost take it, that statement can go both ways. Like if someone told me that and they're criticizing me, meaning like you haven't changed in like 20 years, I'd be like, that sucks. I would hope, and I think I am, but maybe I'm a biased judge, but I would hope that I'm a better person now than I was 20 years ago. I think I'm more compassionate. I think I'm more understanding.
You're definitely better looking.
I'm more handsome.
You are more handsome.
But, I mean, across the board, I could sit, I'm married, I have an awesome wife, I have 3 young daughters. If I wasn't different now than I was 20 years ago, I'd almost be like, man, I'm kind of a piece of shit. Like, I would hope I'm different. And likewise, for me, if there was a component to this album that didn't reflect almost where I'm at right now, that would be really uncomfortable, because then I'd feel like I would almost have to downplay that or not present that for what it is. And I don't know if that makes sense, but for me that's a much freer place to operate from. This is the first album, you know, studio album that we've even had guests on. You know, we've never had a song with a female vocalist. All those things are in some eyes risks, but for me they're not risks. They're really comfortable steps that we were excited to take and that we're presenting ourselves with where we're at, like at this moment in time. Like the album really is like a, in a weird way, a snapshot of where the 6 of us are in what we like, where we're at emotionally, where we're at physically, what our relationship is with each other, everything. It's a snapshot of right now. You know, it's not, and every album in a weird way is that for us. It's, I look back at each of the different albums we've done, going back all the way to Hybrid Theory, and they are, it is like a photograph. Chester was talking about that a little bit earlier, but you can look at a photograph and you can know what you were almost thinking in that photograph and who you were and how you viewed the world and all those things. Same thing for me with like our albums. Each one's a bit of a snapshot of where I was at that moment in my life. And this One More Light for sure is a great depiction for me of where like I'm at right now.
Unfortunately, today's technology has changed how music is consumed, right? How everybody listens to music.
Sure.
From their perspective. Has this changed the way you guys approach your art? And has this actually changed the way you guys think about music in general?
I think that with where music's at right now, and especially integrating with technology, it's changed how I approach music in the sense that I feel it's a lot more open. Like, and for me, anything that knocks down walls when it comes to a creative process for me is a good thing. Having said that, there's always going to be some kinds of constraints with how you go about creating. If you're in a studio, automatically you're like, why are we in a studio? If we're going to write a song, why does it have to be in a studio? Like, but it doesn't matter. There's always going to be some kind of thing that's a pattern in a sense, you know? And if your pattern is always like, I'm going to write music, then I'm going to do a 12-song album, and I'm going to release it to blah, 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 and this. That's like a rhythm or a pattern that, for me at least, kind of affects the creative process. And I feel like the openness that technology offers in a sense of artists being able to release this, suddenly go, oh, here's my album, it's here right now, go get it, or it's coming out in 2 months, or here's a song, or here's an hour's worth of material, or here's a 10-second snippet.
Dude,
or
Moby just put out 4 hours of meditation,
right?
Music.
I mean, which may or may not be your cup of tea, but the fact that you can do that, and you used to, you would never be able to do that if nothing else. Like, you couldn't do 4 hours on vinyl, or you couldn't do 4 hours on a CD.
Dude,
or
that's one of the things that.
That's
I
fun.
Think is so cool about that. Like, I don't necessarily love all of Moby's music. I actually like a lot of it. But who Moby is as an artist is exactly what kind of artist I would like to be. And that is someone who, or Beck, or, you know, not stylistically or vibe-wise, just like, you know what, like, I'm going to make a really moody folk album, and then I'm going to come out with the poppiest thing you've ever heard, and then I'm going to come out with like the hip-hoppiest, like most weird noir thing ever, some visual craziness. Like, I'm going to, you know what? I like meditation. I like owning a restaurant. I like not touring. I like the benefits I get from that. I'm going to make music, like hours of it, and I'm just going to be like, you know what? Here's my gift to people. If you want it, you can use it. It helps me. Like, that is so fucking cool. Like, I don't know, like, who's done shit like that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so there's something totally liberating about allowing yourself to not be constrained by, one, what you think you should be doing as opposed to just what you're doing. And then also, as a successful artist, like, when there's information from the outside that's coming in saying, we like this, just do this, we like this, just do this, putting that pressure on yourself to like service some unknown hypothetical human being and what they may actually be saying when they say that is so weird. Getting out of that and just being like, you know what, like, I can't. Even if I did that, if I went and said, here's a list of questions, I'm going to give it to every person that likes Linkin Park, and I'm going to ask them what they want to hear from me, and if I gathered all that information and then tried to execute a record to make all of them happy, it would fucking suck so bad. So why do that to yourself? You know, like, just go in and like make music that you love. Like, I wait for that moment in the studio where I go, oh man, did you feel that? Like, I want that. I want that from every experience that I have. Like, whether it's like when I come home from school, like when I come home from my kids come home from school and they go, Dad, look what I did. And you know, like, you get that like moment of like, wow, like, look at you. Like, you drew that? Like, wow. Or you know, or that moment where you just look at my wife's eyes and I'm just like, I can feel the person that I love. Like, that's what I look for. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want from life. Like, I want every situation to make me better as a person and more satisfied as a human being. And like, not like whether what I'm doing makes you happy, you know, it's got to come from this place first. And if I'm happy, then I'm okay with it. Like, whatever your experience with it is your experience, and you're allowed to have that. What I don't appreciate is when people try to then say, well, here's my experience, and now I'm going to force my experience onto you and make you do what I think you should do. Like, yeah, yucky poo. Take that, take your ball and go home.
Thanks, guys.